Hello, New York Giants fans, and welcome to another special edition of the Valentine's Views podcast. As we continue our coverage of the 2020 NFL Scouting Combine here in Indianapolis, I'm your host, Ed Valentine of Big Blue View. And as you know, if you listened to previous shows or if you've been reading Big Blue View, I'm here in Indianapolis covering the Combine for a couple of days, trying to bring you some firsthand perspective, bring you some audio clips, bring you some analysis, some news, whatever we can here while the Combine is going on in Indianapolis. So today's show is, today was offensive line day in Indianapolis. Running backs also spoke to the media, but you know, from a New York Giants perspective, with Saquon Barkley in place, this was the day to focus on offensive line. And I chose early this morning when interviews began, I chose to speak with Mekhi Becton, the monstrous 364-pound offensive tackle from Louisville. You'll hear clips from that a little bit later on. You'll also hear clips from Andrew Thomas, the offensive tackle from Georgia, who may also be a consideration for the Giants early in the first round. And you'll hear from Temple center Matt Hennessy, who is a guy who is from the New Jersey area and could be a mid-round option for the Giants if they're looking for a center at some point in the middle of the draft. Wanted to talk a little bit before we get to the audio clips, a little bit especially about my impression of Mekhi Becton. This is a massive, massive individual. 6'7" and change, 360 pounds and change. Listen, you know, I was covering the Giants a couple of years ago when DJ Fluker was a Giant. And at that point in time, you know, standing next to DJ Fluker, I thought I was standing next to the biggest individual, you know, that I had ever stood next to, the most monstrous looking man, you know, who I had ever dealt with. And this guy is 2 inches bigger, 20 pounds heavier, and he's not flabby. He is built, he's solid, he's in shape. You know, Becton was in a very entertaining interview today. He talked a lot about his basketball background, which he played basketball through high school, which helped him, he said, with his footwork. He was very adamant that he wants to be the first offensive lineman taken in this draft. And let's face it, the Giants could easily make him the first offensive lineman taken in this draft with the fourth overall pick. Or perhaps even, you know, with a trade down a couple spots if Dave Gettleman decides to get creative and take that risk for the first time in his career as a general manager. But Becton was very, very impressive today. He spoke to a crowd of media that included a lot of folks from New York, a lot of Giants beat writers. He spoke about, you know, playing in New York. He spoke about liking what he called the griminess of the city. You know, I'm not exactly sure, you know, what he meant by griminess. He just said that he felt like New Yorkers were tough people and he liked the city. He also talked about, you know, why he likes being an offensive tackle, why he likes being the biggest offensive lineman. This is a guy who likes to intimidate people. He likes to knock people down. He likes to push people around. He likes to be dominant. Spoke to Duke Manyweather, good friend of Big Blue View, who's been on our show a few times. Duke, if you don't know, you can find at BigDuke50 on Twitter. And Duke is an offensive line performance consultant. And apologize to Duke if I didn't quite get that title right. I know that his title is sort of a mouthful, but Duke works with O-line or OL Masterminds, which was the brainchild, I guess, initially of Philadelphia Eagles right tackle Lane Johnson. And Becton happens to be one of the players training with Manyweather. And Duke said basically when he looks at Mekhi Becton, he sees an NFL version of LeBron James. He sees a player with a unique build, with a unique skill set that the NFL has not seen before. He said, what he said to me is, Mekhi Becton is a new bar for NFL offensive tackles. He's a new standard. Said that in his mind, it's 100% certain that Mekhi Becton should be the first offensive tackle taken in the NFL draft. Now, you know, full disclosure, as I said, Duke works with Becton. He does not work with Andrew Thomas or Jedrick Wills or Tristan Wirfs. So, obviously, there may be a little bit of bias in what Duke is saying. But please read the article at Big Blue View if you haven't had a chance to do that already. Get a little better perspective on Becton. Read a little bit more about what Duke had to say about the big offensive tackle from Louisville. Also wanted to mention that I had a chance to sit in an interview session today with Andrew Thomas, who also spoke pretty well about why he believes he's the best offensive tackle in this class, although at this point, most draft analysts don't see it that way. At one point in time, Thomas was considered the number one offensive tackle, seems to have slid behind Jedrick Wills of Alabama, and perhaps Becton at this point in time. But, you know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. You never know. This is a guy who had a really good career at Georgia. He was really well-spoken today. Spoke a little bit about his love for music, how he was a drummer in high school, how he eventually gave that up, and how he's been learning to play the piano, which is interesting. It just tells you a little bit, you know, that this is a guy who, although he loves football, he has other interests outside of football. He's a well-rounded person. You know, and it, but again, he spoke, you know, about his, you know, his desire to, you know, to be the best offensive lineman coming out of what is a pretty deep offensive line class. I didn't get an opportunity to speak with Jedrick Wills or with Tristan Wirfs. Hopefully we'll get a chance at Big Blue View to look over some of the remarks that those guys made and bring you some of that, you know, in the next few days. But also got a chance to speak with Matt Hennessy from Temple for a minute or two. Hennessy's a kid, a local kid, really, who would really like to be a Giant in a lot of ways. Hennessy's brother plays for the New York Jets, so if you recognize the name, that's why. And obviously the Giants, with John Halapio having suffered the torn Achilles tendon at the end of last season and really not having played all that incredibly well throughout the season anyway, the Giants could be in the market for a new center, you know, for the 2020 season. So keep Hennessy's name in mind as you do that. Also, in a minute or two here, I'm going to play the audio clips that I promised for you. Did something a little bit unusual, a little bit interesting. Just simply had fun with this today. When Joe Judge was introduced as the Giants head coach, he spoke a lot about wanting teachers to be his assistant coaches, about wanting to hire guys who were teachers, not presenters. One of the phrases that he used was, I want these guys to teach me how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Teach me how to make the best PB&J that's possible. And you know, since we're at the Combine, I took the opportunity to ask a couple of the lesser-known offensive linemen and guys that, you know, what happens at the Combine is that they have eight podiums set up. So the top eight players, the guys that are considered the top eight prospects, get to stand at podiums and do media sessions, you know, with a microphone and with everybody, you know, standing in front of them. The rest of the guys get to sit at tables in a corner of the ballroom at the Indiana Convention Center, and you know, guys come by, talk to them. You know, sometimes these guys sit there with nobody talking to them. I took the opportunity to talk to Kyle Murphy, an offensive lineman from the University of Rhode Island, and John Mulchin, another offensive lineman from Boise State. And it, pretty much in honor of Joe Judge's PB&J statement, I ask these guys to give me their best instructions on how to make their best PB&J sandwich. Put up a poll at Big Blue View as well. And actually, the Murphy is, as we do this show, the Murphy is running away with that particular poll in a bit of a landslide, 70-something percent to 20-something percent. You'll actually get a chance to hear a little bit of the clips of those guys telling me, you know, how they would make their ideal PB&J sandwich. Let's take a quick break for a word from our sponsors. Then we'll come right back and we'll play those audio clips for you.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
I feel like I'm the most dominant tackle in this draft. You wouldn't go wrong picking me. I mean, the tape shows it. The tape shows that I finish almost every play. Simple as that. I have to prove to them that I love to finish. The tape shows it, but I have to tell them that I have the passion to love football and finish. Because my background of like other sports that I played, so they feel like I'm not really passionate about it. And my 2018 film, it looked like I wasn't passionate about football, so I have to explaining to them that I am passionate about football. Helped me with my footwork. You can tell I'm real light on my feet, so I feel like basketball helped me out with my footwork when it comes to football and pass pro.
Did you meet with the Giants yet?
No, sir.
You have? Do you expect to?
Yes, sir.
Would you like to?
I would love to.
What about the Giants is intriguing to you?
The blue and red. Nah, I just like how grimy you guys are. Just love the New York griminess. The state, like. You know what I mean? Like, New York, just tough. Like, I love New York. New York's real tough.
What do you think you can do for a running back, any running back?
Open the hole and run behind me. I can get you to score a touchdown, pretty much. Just run behind me.
Does it matter what quality of running back it is?
No. I'm going to still block my tail off no matter who behind me.
What if it's Saquon Barkley?
Still block my tail off no matter who behind me.
Yeah.
I try to mimic my game after a mix of Tyron Smith, Trent Williams, because of his athleticism, and then Tyron Smith, how consistent his set is regardless of who he's playing. Definitely, not just the draft boards, but personally, like, I want to be the best. I work hard every day to be the best. Why would we be doing this if you don't want to be the best? So every day I train, I want to be the best. Obviously, all of these guys are talented, so I'm just doing my best to show what I can do. I think yesterday my measurements were good. I think that helps. And then just doing the meetings, just showing them how intelligent I am, and then obviously on the field drills, just showing how athletic I am. I remember, so I don't know if you guys know, but I'm very musically inclined. Like, all my family growing up in the church, played the drums, things like that. And my freshman year in high school, I was still in the band, enjoying everything. And my head coach Chris Slade told me that I had a chance to write my own ticket playing football. And obviously I loved the game, but music was still something very important to me. And he told me that I got to put my focus on football, and that's what I did. I still love music, but I put my all into football, and I'm here now. I played the drums in the band, and then when I went to college, obviously I couldn't do band anymore, so I tried to transition to learn how to play the piano.
I had a good time.
I think it goes back to high school, playing at Don Bosco Prep in North Jersey. Played guys like Nick Bosa and Rashawn Gary, and like while those matchups weren't favorable for me in high school, I definitely saw that I could compete with those guys, and then getting to the college level saw it even more. Yeah, it'd be incredible. Actually, I grew up a huge Giants fan, like season tickets, went to every game through probably like 2010. But that'd be incredible. And then my brother's with the Jets, so that'd be awesome too. The player I studied as a young player was Alex Mack. When I first got to Temple, my offensive line coach had just come from the Browns when Alex Mack was there. So all our install film was the Browns. And I found that he was an awesome player to watch and learn a tremendous amount from him. I think center, one of the more significant differences is making all the calls. I would assume most teams in the NFL will be the same thing, where the center is getting everybody aligned. And then not having your snap hand right away. Like, essentially, for that first half a second, when you're snapping the ball, you just have your left available, or your right if you're a lefty. But so I'd say that those are the most significant differences. I mean, almost simultaneously, you're going to snap it and shoot the left. A lot of times, though, D linemen know that you just have left available, so they'll go after it. So a lot of it's just about getting a little depth off the ball and giving yourself that space so you can recover with the right.
Giants just hired Joe Judge as their head coach. At his introductory press conference, he talked about when he was going to hire coaches, he wanted teachers. He said, I want guys who can teach me how to make the best peanut butter and jelly sandwich in the world. So make me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Okay. Sounds good.
So tell me how to make. So tell me how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
The ultimate one, or just
old-fashioned? The best peanut butter and jelly sandwich you can make.
Okay. So the first thing I like to do is I got two white bread that I have open up, and I love strawberry jam, so I make sure that there's a good, I'd say, a good amount of strawberry jelly, and with an even spread. Not too much, not too little, so you get a good sweet taste. And then I also prefer a chunky peanut butter on the other white piece of bread. And I'll spread that open. And I'm not too much of a peanut butter guy, so I just want a little bit of a hint of it. I also like the chunkiness of it, so you can have more to chew. Mm-hmm. And then before you fold them up, I like to put bananas in mine. Nice. So I like to slice them up and evenly put them throughout the peanut butter side, and then I'll flip it over.
So it's peanut butter, jelly, and banana.
Banana.
There you go.
And that's my go-to.
That's the banana. That's the secret ingredient.
For me, that's what keeps me eating PB&Js.
I mean, first you got to get good bread.
What are you going to get?
My favorite bread is multigrain, okay. Honestly. And you got to get good peanut butter, some real peanut butter. Mm-hmm. And me personally,
crunchy or smooth?
I'm a big smooth guy.
All right.
I don't like too much crunchy. But yeah, you gotta get your peanut butter, and you know, I always put the peanut butter on first, and one half of the bread. Mm-hmm. And I always load it up with the peanut butter, and I kind of have OCD with that, so I gotta spread it perfectly. And then with the other piece of bread, you always gotta get good jelly, and I'm a big strawberry jelly guy.
Oh, perfect.
But like that kind of the old fashioned strawberry jam. Mm-hmm. And with the pieces in it. And you know, you spread that with the other piece of bread. You don't put as much as the peanut butter, but you put a decent amount. You gotta spread it evenly like the peanut butter. And then you put them together.
Crust or no crust?
Oh, crust all the way. Yeah, you sir.
All right. All right, Giants fans, Ed Valentine back here at the Valentine's Views podcast. Hope you enjoyed those audio clips from here in Indy on this on what is a snowy Wednesday here in Indianapolis. One more day for me here in Indiana. I'll be at the Combine on Thursday. Defensive linemen and linebackers will be on the menu on Thursday, so maybe we'll get a chance to talk to Chase Young. Maybe we'll get a chance to talk to Isaiah Simmons. We'll have to see, you know, what the day brings and who we're able to get a chance to speak with during the day. But hopefully, you know, we'll bring you another podcast on Thursday evening, and hopefully you'll be looking forward to that. And as always, Giants fans, please remember to subscribe to Big Blue View Radio and all of your favorite podcast applications. And remember to take a listen to Tuesday's show, which includes audio clips of Dave Gettleman and Joe Judge as they met with the media. All right, thank you, Giants fans, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.